Our next guest, who also comes from Nigeria, likes to base her novels on real-life experiences of people. She won popular acclaim with her novel Second Class Citizen, which is an autobiography of her life in England. Her other novels are The Bride Price, The Slave Girl, In the Ditch, and I'm sure by now you know I'm talking about Buchi Emechieta. Buchi lives in London, where, apart from her work as a writer, she lectures and advises the Home Office on the improvement of race relations in England. She was in Holland last Sunday to give the second lecture in a series organised by the Centre for Politics and Culture and the Transnational Institute. In this series, writers from various parts of the world give their views on the present crisis, as the organisers feel that novelists and poets do have insights, another eye and ear, that might be more relevant to society than what is being normally accepted. In other words, an alternative view on social and political developments in our world. John Hammond attended the lecture in which Buchi Emechieta spoke about the arrogance of the West in literature and culture. Here's John in conversation with Buchi Emechieta.
What is the main thrust of your criticism of the West's attitude to African literature and culture?
Is the arrogance in which the Western writers think that they know all the answers. Not only do they know all the answers of their own society, they know all the answers of our own problems, and they tend to impose all these theories on us. And I was trying to tell them that, they haven't got all the answers, they haven't got all the all right. There are some things which are good, but not everything.
Can you give me some concrete examples of some of these aspects of Western arrogance in literature and culture?
For instance, when the Western writer writes about the male African, he's always somebody who, he's very nice, a very nice African, as faithful as any dog, or things like that. Or the good African man is the one who is as big, as handsome, and strong as Muhammad Ali. Why must we to depict an African man or woman? Why must he have two heads and four arms to be accepted as human?
How do you set about correcting some of these wrong impressions about Africans in your writings?
I try my best by writing about everyday things, that the African family is just like any other family. Maybe he lives in Africa or they live in Africa and their demands are different or their expectations different, but there's nothing different from a typical family in Africa and another one in Europe. So to expect more from one family just because they are black, or to impose one standard on top of another one, I think is the arrogance. And that is what I was trying to do in my books.
You have lived in England for over 20 years. And has living from home, living and writing from home, affected you as a Nigerian woman and has affected your writing?
Yes, it has, because it made me, I'm able to see the two societies and be able to judge. So there's nothing now you can tell me about Europe which I don't know. And it makes me able to compare the two societies and see what is good we can learn from them. And again, there are so many things we can teach them.
Like?
Well, like the feminist movement, to come back to the female in Africa to relearn how to be a woman, because at the moment they don't know where they are going.
How?
Well, they have these ideas. I gave an example of a group of women who collected money. Instead of wanting to go and help their sisters in Africa, build nurseries, maybe create jobs and help them even cultivate their land, they want to bring gay liberation to Africa, to West Africa, to Ghana. I said, that's not a problem. We have much more important problems than things like that. We are not even ready for that type of thing. I hope not we'll be ready for a thing like that, because it's not because I have anything against the lesbian, but I don't think we want it. It's not a problem yet.
Don't you think that your stand on this particular issue of sexism and feminism is a little bit against the trend back home in Africa?
No, it's not against the trend, because even the young girls at university are very fearful. The feminists in the West is really hurt that a lot of black women are not really coming forward to embrace what they have to teach wholeheartedly. Because inside, when they go home, they realize, is this really suiting me? So there's a tendency in Nigeria, for example, for women to be more educated. They want to get a job. They don't want to be penalized for being pregnant, you know, to lose their job because of that. Those are things which women there need. Or if you can't bring your mother to the city, to have a nursery school where you can leave your child and know he's going to be well taken care of. But to go and shout about, we don't want men, we want to abort every child we have. I don't think that is going to help anybody, not in Africa.
You have written about 15 books, according to the latest count. Yes. How do Africans generally react to your writing?
Oh, at the beginning, they were viewing me with suspicion. They still do, African intellectuals still do, because, you know, I'm doing what every man would like to do. But, you know, so that's just the core thing. You don't say because they're not going to patronize your book or you stop writing, you can't keep writing. But in Nigeria, in most Africa, I think my books are selling, but not as fast as they would have done if I'd been a man.
Now, what is the state of writing, especially among women writers in Nigeria?
Oh, there are few women coming up, but, you know, the whole thing is what we are saying again, of this patronizing attitude, that until these women break from the African situation and have themselves publicized outside Africa, you see that their works are not recognized. Uh-huh. And this is not because, again, the men feel it's only when something is approved in Britain or in Europe, then it's a good thing. Then we have to depend on Europeans to tell us what is good about ourselves.
How have your personal values as a woman been affected by your experiences and also by the fact that you've lived in an alien country and go back occasionally to Nigeria? For instance, have you been forced to discard some of the traditional norms that in Igbo society from where you come are regarded as important?
No, I can't, because, you know, Igbo society is so, you know, it's closely knit. You know, I've left my husband for a very long time and I brought up my children, but I won't dream of divorce. I see where he's ring. I won't dream of doing that, because how will I face my people at home? You heard me referring to my mother-in-law's mother. How will I face her when I go home? You see, that's one thing I try to tell the Western society, that the woman in Africa, especially the mother of your husband, is a very, very strong person. Here, she may be a problem, but in our own society, if you are very well brought up and in a good family, you can't go there, because you are not just shaming yourself. You are shaming your sons, and you are shaming the people from your own community, your compound as well. I don't think I have the emotional strength to go against my own culture.
How about your children?
Well, my children are very much, though they grew up in Europe, so they are African children, and so they have both cultures. So occasionally, when I have money, I take them home, and so they belong to the two cultures. They are just in Europe at the moment because they are getting their education. The idea is to make the cultural base as wide as possible so that they can adapt themselves to anywhere they find themselves, but not forgetting that Africa is still their spiritual home.
Now, I come to a very personal and final question. Your own personal life has been almost a heroic one. Do you try and put into your books elements of your personal experience as a means of teaching or educating or informing your African sisters how to handle situations like the one you faced?
Yes. If you remember, Second Class Citizen is very autobiographical, and most of the talks I gave this morning say what I experienced, what I did, what I experienced, what, and you find a lot of these girls born here with, how can you put up with that? How can you do that? But when you look at the position of the white woman, she's not that better off. You just have people gloss over this thing and think because it's Africa, it's worse. So I put a lot of my personal... I'm not a very creative writer. I had to experience something or see it happening to another person or hear it as a story before I'm able to recast it as a book. I don't just write fiction. Each of my books, I've got a lesson or a moral. And I know it's an arrogant statement to make, but I can't just write in a vacuum. I base my experience from society. So I put a lot of myself in my book.
And shall we say that the source of this inspiration is still not exhausted yet?
Oh, no. There are almost 100 million people in Nigeria. So to me, every person is a story.
And are we to expect more output in the near future?
Oh, yes. I've chosen Africa as my subject, as you heard me say in the hall. I write about Africa. People ask me to write books about England. I said, I'm not going to write books about England because that's been done by white people anyway. Who is going to write my own? So there's plenty there where it comes from. As long as I go on writing, it's going to be an African novel. Yeah. African novel, sorry.
Buchi, thank you very much.
You're welcome.